This is Greater LA on KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis. When night falls, you can stand almost anywhere in the San Gabriel Valley, look to the north at Mount Wilson in the distance, and you'll see the glowing lights of TV and radio antennas spiking into the darkness. But that's not all that's up there. Among the pine trees and coyotes, high above the humdrum terra firma existence of LA mortals, sits the Mount Wilson Observatory. For more than a century, it's been a gateway to the heavens.
6,000 feet up with Mount Wilson Observatory below.
Here's how a newsreel described it in 1930.
Great changes are occurring throughout the universe. The observatory's 100-inch telescope, largest in the world, is daily recording new wonders.
The twin chalk-white domes are home to two aging but still mighty telescopes. The 60 and the 100-inch machines are arguably the most important in the history of astronomy. Superstars of astroscience like Edwin Hubble, George Ellery Hale, and Albert Einstein himself have looked through those telescopes. And you can, too. In case you didn't know, anyone can rent the scopes for the night. That's right, the whole night, complete with an astronomer to guide your trip through the astonishing wonders of the dark and endless firmament. And snacks are included. Reporter Peter Gilstrap made the sundown trip up Angeles Crest Highway to see what happens on Mount Wilson when the stars come out at night.
That's the 100-ton dome turning to accommodate the view of the 60-inch telescope, a move it's been making since things began here so long ago.
In 1908, it was the largest telescope in the world.
That's telescope operator Tom Mason. He's one of a devoted cadre of amateur astronomers and retired engineers who keep things going atop Mount Wilson. He's been volunteering at the observatory for 17 years.
It was the first telescope placed on a mountain this size. It was the first real enactment of the mirror-reflecting type telescope. So you have a lot of history here.
The telescope itself is an industrial latticework of tubular steel angled toward a crack in the dome like a cannon. It's about the size of a crouching Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it's painted baby blue. The tube got here 113 years ago on the back of a truck that barely made it up the winding dirt road from Pasadena. The unbelievably delicate 60-inch mirror that's the reflecting heart of the telescope arrived by a team of pack mules. Since the machine opened its enormous eye on the skies, it's lived to become the granddaddy of virtually every modern scope in existence. And while down below, Los Angeles constantly grows and mutates upon itself, demolishing and building again and again, year after year, up on Mount Wilson, things barely change.
Now, do we have the technology to hook this up to a computer and guide it? Yes. Mount Wilson is not willing to trust this to a computer, and that's why we still operate it by hand.
They don't trust it to a computer. It's a notion that's absolutely breathtaking. And don't even think about cell reception up here. You can look down the eyepiece at an ancient long-dead star still beaming its ghost light toward Earth, but you can't text anyone about it.
The telescope and the whole tower itself obey the slightest touch of the control buttons. At the top, another astronomer gets ready to photograph the heavens. To the scientist, the quarrels and whirls of this small Earth must seem mighty petty as he penetrates celestial mysteries such as these.
Many of those celestial mysteries were solved at the observatory. Scientist Harlow Shapley worked at Mount Wilson from 1914 to 1921. He used the telescopes to determine the size of the Milky Way galaxy. Yes, the size of the galaxy. This guy you've never heard of did that. He also found that Earth was not the center of that galaxy.
So what did that do? That moved us off out here off one of the arms of the galaxy. Great discovery right here with the 60-inch telescope.
Yeah. And a blow to the ego of those who thought we were running the show.
Yes, well, our ego has been blown a couple times up here. because we thought we were the only galaxy there, and then Hubble came along and discovered that, yes, there is another galaxy out there. And now we're in the billions of galaxies type thing.
Does it make you feel very, very tiny when you think about that?
Yes, it does, because of how big this is. But also, as a Christian, it also brings my attention to something. The scripture says, O Lord, O Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him compared to this great universe you made? So as big as it is out there, as everything that's out there, you just keep going and keep going and keep going, and we keep learning about it. And this little dust spot, the earth, and then I'm a dust spot on that earth, and he's mindful of me. That's also exciting.
Tom Mason is a member of Christ Community Church in West Covina. Tonight, some of his fellow church members are renting the telescope. Vicki Heim is part of the congregation.
What have you seen here that really impressed you the most?
Oh, I just love Saturn. That's my favorite.
In your mind, how does it work, God versus science, when you look through something like this?
To me, it's just that it couldn't be anything else but God's creation. Just no possibility.
Including the telescope, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
For the 60-inch scope, your rental tab is $1,050 for a half night and $1,700 for the entire night. Throw in the coffee, cold cuts, and brownies with the quasars, nebulas, and white dwarf stars, and it's a hell of a deal. So how did this sanctuary of science become a fun night out for anyone with a credit card? Just too much light. Astronomy loves darkness, and by the late 1990s, Los Angeles had become ground zero for light pollution. As scientific research was moving from Mount Wilson to low-wattage places like Chile, the decision was made to open the facility to the public. This rare opportunity has drawn all kinds of people up the mountain. Some come to marvel, and though there's a strict no-booze policy, others come to party.
Yes, they do. Matter of fact, especially in the other dome tonight, there's even a birthday party going on. So we've had engagements here. We've even had a wedding party to stop by after the wedding, before they start their honeymoon. Now, they didn't stay long, but that's up to them.
Sunshine Day came from Long Beach with an open mind and no real idea of what she would experience. She's not part of the church group. A friend gave her a ticket. Now, as she steps away from gazing through the telescope, she looks stunned, even above her mask.
This is my very first time here.
So tell me what just happened.
Wow. I'm looking at these what appears to be like dots, but they're actually the planets. And as I fine-tune the eyepiece, I can actually see how different the two planets are. It's amazing to be able to see that far.
It's got to be hundreds of miles.
At least.
So, looking through this mountaintop window into the distant reaches of space, what does she think about?
I think about what's happening out there in the sky is actually also happening inside of me, like all my cells and capillaries, my organs, how things are just kind of orbiting and rotating, how my lungs fill with air, and, you know, that. There's just like this divine order to things. And I don't know much about the stars and those planets and what's out there, but I imagine that macrocosm is sort of like the microcosm within my body, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, those are the things that I get to think about when I come to places like this. Like having it to rent out and just to be able to come and see this is absolutely awesome.
And so the night goes on. And once again, the howling aria from the aging gears begins as the dome and the telescope slowly turn to chase the shifting stars and galaxies across the sky. And once again, these humble people of Earth, with their coffee and their fascination and their $1,050, wait to approach the telescope, look in, and see the next strange and beautiful wonder. For KCRW, I'm Peter Gilstrap on Mount Wilson.
Hey Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Back now with Greater LA on KCRW. Steve Chiotakis here. Back in 2016, the LA County Board of Supervisors created a civilian oversight commission to be a watchdog on the LA County Sheriff's Department. Last week, that commission asked the California Attorney General to investigate a unit within the LASD known as the Civil Rights and Public Integrity Detail. It's reportedly been pursuing criminal investigations into opponents and critics of L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, including County Inspector General Max Huntsman, something the sheriff denies. Well, the commission subpoenaed Villanueva to appear at its meeting last week to answer questions about the unit, but he refused. And joining me now is the new chair of the Sheriff Civilian Oversight Commission, Priscilla Ochin. She also teaches law at Loyola Marymount Law School. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What can you tell us about this group, the Civil Rights and Public Integrity Detail? I mean, this is a unit within the Sheriff's Department. What has it been investigating?
We know that the unit has initiated investigations of oversight officials and people who are political opponents of the sheriff. This includes, as you said, the Inspector General Max Huntsman, who is charged with essentially auditing the operations of the Sheriff's Department and monitoring investigations, disciplinary matters, investigations of things like allegations of excessive uses of force, or when deputies kill residents of Los Angeles County, the Office of the Inspector General will observe, not investigate, but observe the Sheriff's Department's investigation of their own deputies.
And that's what Max Huntsman has been doing, though, right? He's been observing.
That's what he has been doing. And because he was doing his job, the sheriff accused him of malfeasance, criminal malfeasance, and unilaterally initiated an investigation without the sign off of the district attorney's office, which would generally handle investigations regarding public officials or allegations of public malfeasance, to avoid the kinds of conflicts that we're seeing with the sheriff's department. The sheriff's department has also initiated investigations into a member of our commission. But you asked me another question about, you know, what do you know about the operation of this unit? And the answer is very little, because the sheriff himself has refused to answer questions under oath, and he has refused to comply with our subpoena, which leads to the underlying question of what he is attempting to hide.
You mentioned George Gascon, the LA County District Attorney. He didn't get involved within the investigation, the internal investigation within the sheriff's department, right?
He did not.
This is what he told the LA Times, quote, "He's only targeting political enemies. It was obvious that was not the kind of work I wanted to engage in, so we declined." That's George Gascon to the LA Times, quote unquote. Your commission subpoenaed the sheriff to appear at a meeting last week to answer questions about these investigations. He refused, the reason saying he was too busy.
That's correct.
You're the watchdog, and that was a subpoena. That wasn't a, hey, want to come talk to us? That was, we are requiring you to come talk to us. What kinds of subpoena powers did the Board of Supervisors give y'all when they voted to create the commission?
So initially, the board did not give the Civilian Oversight Commission nor the OIG subpoena powers, meaning that we could subpoena individuals within the sheriff's department up to and including the sheriff, or subpoena documents. Initially, that was not a part of the ordinance that created the Civilian Oversight Commission. That changed over the last few years, where the board voted to grant us that authority. In addition, the residents of LA County, by an overwhelming margin of roughly about 70%, voted under Measure R to give the Civilian Oversight Commission the authority to subpoena records and testimony associated with the operation of the sheriff's department. So it's clear that we have the legal authority to do this. And if this were you or I,
show up.
Exactly. This brings me to my second point. the sheriff, who says he, you know, is the law enforcement agent for the county, is defying the law openly. So what we have asked the county to do is to go to court to enforce our subpoena and to pursue all legal remedies up to and including holding the sheriff in contempt, to let him know that compliance with a lawfully issued subpoena is not an option. And if he doesn't have anything to hide regarding the validity of these investigations, then he should be happy to answer these questions. Because our concern is that the sheriff is using these investigations, not because there's any underlying crime or even real allegation of criminality, but in an effort to silence and intimidate his detractors and to deter people from engaging in the critical oversight functions that we've been asked to engage in by the residents of LA County. And I'll also note that the fact that a law enforcement agency is publicly announcing these kinds of investigations is out of the norm for what law enforcement agencies usually do, because even in announcing an investigation, you're engaging in reputational harm that can damage people, their livelihoods, they could lose jobs. And I also want to note that to date, not a single one of the subjects of these investigations has been charged criminally. The sheriff has simply held open these cases and is holding them over their heads. Again, I think, and we have a real concern, as an attempt to try to bully and intimidate people out of holding him accountable.
What about the undersheriff, Tim Murakami? He was subpoenaed as well, right?
Yes. At our September meeting, the commission voted to issue a subpoena to the undersheriff, Tim Murakami, to answer questions because the allegation, again, we don't have a lot of information about how this unit was formed, how it's operating. But what we do know is that he has a significant hand, or at least the allegation is that he has a significant leadership position in this public integrity, this so-called public integrity unit. And so if that is true, we'd like to confirm it. We'd like to get it on the record, and we'd to answer questions about how this unit is operating, the basis for the initiation of these investigations. And we'd like for him to answer these questions under oath pursuant to a lawful subpoena issued by the commission.
His response so far?
So far, we have not heard a response. At least to my knowledge, we have not yet received a response from the undersheriff about whether he intends to comply with the subpoena or whether we will have to, like the sheriff, pursue legal remedies to enforce our subpoena for him to attend our October commission meeting.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and talking to us about this. And please keep us updated on this. Sheriff Villanueva, by the way, is up for re-election next year, right? So no matter what happens with these cases, I mean, he's going to ultimately be beholden to the people of LA County.
That's right. And so I would just encourage people to, you know, continue to read the paper, continue to be engaged in, you know, how the largest, one of the largest law enforcement agencies in the country, how one of the largest jail systems in the country is being operated. It's all being done in our name and it's being funded by our tax dollars. And so we should all be asking that the officials tasked with the operating the sheriff's department be held accountable for how they're managing our money and how they're speaking in our names.
Priscilla Ochin, chair of the Sheriff's Civilian Oversight Commission. Thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Onward now with Greater LA on KCRW. Steve Chiatakis here. You probably remember pandemic traffic. Oh, it was so nice. When hardly anybody was on the freeway. Well, now traffic is back and as bad as ever. And that goes for Orange County. OC is planning to build toll lanes on its section of the dreaded 405. But there's a complaint about how a $200 million contract to build and manage those lanes was awarded. One firm claiming a competitor got the nod, even though they ranked highest among bidders by an evaluation process that was set forth by the county's transportation authority. It is a sordid road construction tale that only Gustavo Arellano can unpack. He's a columnist for the LA Times and has this week's KCRW Orange County line. Hey, Gustavo.
Hola, Steve.
All right, Colonel. So let's identify the players here and the accusations.
So, okay, first we have to start off with the 405 freeway has been slammed, Jesus, my entire life in Orange County. I think period completely. But specifically, the OCTA a couple of years ago decided they wanted to build toll roads on the 405 freeway, especially in the area going basically from around from the 5 freeway in the El Toro Y through all of Orange County. So they farm it out. They get, you know, they put it out to bid like you're supposed to do. And so there was their staff of the OCTA said that a company called WSP, they got the highest grades for, among the staff. Staff makes a recommendation to the board, the OCTA board, which is made up of city council members and board of supervisors members. They go with somebody completely different.
Okay, they go with somebody. This is another company called Kofi Route. Is that correct?
Yeah, so Kofi Route, they've had business with the County of Orange before, with OCTA specifically. They manage the 91 toll roads, which was the first toll roads in Orange County. It's a short toll road. Just goes from Anaheim Hills up until the Riverside County line around there. I wouldn't know because I can't afford a toll road stuff like that. But I see it for sure.
Yeah. And the allegation is that Kofi Route, this is what WSP alleges, that Kofi Route lobbied members of the OCTA board of directors, right, with campaign contributions, gave them money.
The allegations that WSP make are not pretty out there, but they're pretty detailed. They say that, first and foremost, the county should have gone with their bid because that's what staff said. Hey, theirs is better than Kofi Route, that Kofi Route illegally lobbied, that they lobbied in a way that they're not supposed to lobby. And then on top of that, that the lobbyist, they gave campaign contributions to board members who voted for them during a time period when you're supposed to recuse themselves. And more specifically, WSP, in a letter that they sent to the board of OCTA, they named these people, everyone from supervisors Andrew Doe and Lisa Bartlett and Don Wagner to Katrina Foley, like basically the four supervisors.
So this is a delay in addition to other delays that have taken place. Back in late 2019, I think OC announced this huge expansion of toll lanes. How did this project get so jackknifed? I mean, what has happened here? Why is this not proceeding as usual?
Well, I mean, this is always going to delay. Then, of course, you had the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, how long has the expansion of the 5 freeway in Norwalk taken? I think, the past 15 years of my life or something. So that itself is not surprising. But to see one of these firms that lost on a bid be so public about its allegations, that's what's pretty extraordinary, that they are making these complaints, these allegations, that they're threatening to sue. And meanwhile, you have the OCTA board saying, well, look, WSP, they're just crying in their sour milk, however that metaphor goes. And they should just know how this is how business is. We appreciated their comments. We appreciated what our staff told us, but we're going to go with the people that we know, Kofi Route, even though maybe staff didn't like them as much. We know their work. We don't know what WSP does, so tough tamales.
All right, so there is, tough tamales, by the way, not good. There is a state law commonly known as the Levine Act, right? It says that any board member who received campaign contributions within the last year must recuse themselves from awarding these contracts. And one did in this case. This is a guy named Tim Shaw, right? What has he been saying about this whole spiel?
Tim Shaw, longtime La Habra City Council member. Last year, he unsuccessfully ran for the Orange County Board of Education, and he got a campaign contribution from, Kofi Route. I want to call it Kofi Route.
Yeah,
and he said, look, what I said earlier, he recused himself. He's like, I think it's a conflict of interest, so I'm not going to vote on it. But everyone else, I could only assume that we're going with people who we know. We don't know this WSP. In these staff reports, they were saying that WSP, they made some mistakes on a previous bid, in previous project outside of Orange County. WSP also took issue with that. So Tim Shaw basically said, he said, we're going to go with the people that we know as opposed to the people we don't know.
Right, but what about any other board members who did not recuse themselves? Did they receive any campaign contributions from Kofi Route?
The voice of OC, they broke the story, and the only person that talked to them was Katrina Foley, who she voted for this when she was still a council member in Costa Mesa, and they didn't really actually ask her about this the conflict of interest or the alleged conflict of interest. And it's interesting because it's not specifically from, you know, WSP is saying it's not that Kofi Root did it, them, the company itself. They said it's the lobbyist that they can't do that as well. So I'm sure there's going to be some dispute about who can give and what exactly counts as a conflict of interest. You know, WSP is so angry about this that they even noted that they were family members of some of these lobbyists who gave donations to, you know, to some of these OCTA board members. So they're out for blood.
Yeah. Well, it's an evolving story, one that we will continue to cover here on KCRW's Orange County Line. Gustavo Arellano, Colonel, thank you.
Gracias.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, a report on air quality. And when fires sweep the state, Northern California actually suffers more from all the smoke than SoCal for meteorological reasons. Why is that? That's tomorrow on GLA. We're in the final few days of KCRW's good old-fashioned pledge drive as we inch our way toward a goal of keeping this public service available to you. We're wrapping it soon. And if you donate today, you can automatically be entered to win the brand new iPhone 13 just released by Apple. That's an incentive, right? Already donated? Maybe throw us a bonus for your chance at this incredible prize. It's not about the phone, though, or the tote bag or the mugs. This is about your support of the station that you use every single day. KCRW.com/give. And thank you for your support. Good luck on the sweepstakes, by the way. Jenna Cagle, Nihar Patel, Sonia Geis, Ray Guarna, Phil Richards, Lorenzo Ponce de Leon, Amy Ta, Holly Adams, and Christian Bordahl all helped make the show happen. Thank you for your ear and time tonight. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great night.